That night, I found myself capable of reading Anna Karenina with unbroken concentration. I went on turning pages without another thought in mind. In one sitting, I read as far as the scene where Anna and Vronsky first see each other in the Moscow train station. At that point, I stuck my bookmark in and poured myself another glass of brandy. Though it hadn't occurred to me before, I couldn't help thinking what an odd novel this was. You don't see the heroine, Anna, until chapter 18. I wondered if it didn't seem unusual to readers in Tolstoy's day. What did they do when the book went on and on with a detailed description of the life of a minor character named Oblonsky? Just sit there waiting for the beautiful heroine to appear? Maybe that was it. Maybe people in those days had lots of time to kill. At least, the part of society that read novels. Then I noticed how late it was. 3 in the morning. And still I wasn't sleepy. What should I do? I don't feel sleepy at all, I thought. I could just keep on reading. I'd love to find out what happens in the story, but I have to sleep. I remembered my ordeal with insomnia and how I had gone through each day back then wrapped in a cloud. No, never again. I was still a student in those days. It was still possible for me to get away with something like that. But not now, I thought. Now I'm a wife, a mother, I have responsibilities. I have to make my husband's lunches and take care of my son. But even if I get into bed now, I know I won't be able to sleep a wink. I shook my head. Let's face it, I'm just not sleepy, I told myself. And I want to read the rest of the book. I sighed and stole a glance at the big volume lying on the table. And that was that. I plunged into Anna Karenina and kept reading until the sun came up. Anna and Vronsky stared at each other at the ball and fell into their doomed love. Anna went to pieces when Vronsky's horse fell at the racetrack, so there was a racetrack scene after all, and confessed her infidelity to her husband. I was there with Vronsky when he spurred his horse over the obstacles. I heard the crowd cheering him on, and I was there in the stands watching his horse go down. When the window brightened with the morning light, I laid down the book and went to the kitchen for a cup of coffee. My mind was filled with scenes from the novel, and with a tremendous hunger, obliterating any other thoughts. I cut 2 slices of bread, spread them with butter and mustard, and had a cheese sandwich. My hunger pangs were almost unbearable. It was rare for me to feel that hungry. I had trouble breathing, I was so hungry. 1 sandwich did hardly anything for me, so I made another one and had another cup of coffee with it. To my husband, I said nothing about either my trance or my night without sleep. Not that I was hiding them from him, it just seemed to me that there was no point in telling him. What good would it have done? And besides, I had simply missed a night's sleep. That much happens to everyone now and then. I made my husband his usual cup of coffee and gave my son a glass of warm milk. My husband ate toast and my son ate a bowl of cornflakes. My husband skimmed the morning paper and my son hummed a new song he had learned in school. The two of them got into the Sentra and left. "Be careful," I said to my husband. "Don't worry," he answered. The two of them waved. A typical morning. After they were gone, I sat on the sofa and thought about how to spend the rest of the day. What should I do? What did I have to do? I went to the kitchen to inspect the contents of the refrigerator. I could get by without shopping. We had bread, milk, and eggs, and there was meat in the freezer. Plenty of vegetables, too. Everything I'd need through tomorrow's lunch. I had business at the bank, but it was nothing I absolutely had to take care of immediately. Letting it go a day longer wouldn't hurt.